Father, we praise you for the truth of this hymn, that you are watching over us every moment of the day. And not only are you doing that, you are protecting us, providing for us. You are living within us. The Holy Spirit is in each of us as believers. Father, we have such joyous, joyous blessings and privileges as believers in Christ, and all because of your abundant grace, not because of anything we have earned. It's the exact opposite. We have earned your wrath, and instead, you have showered your love and mercy and grace upon each of us, all in Christ Jesus, all through faith alone. And we give you praise for all of these things. Thank you for watching over us and caring for us and for being here today. Not only are you watching and in each of us, the Lord promised he would be in the gathering even if it's just two or three, and we have many more than that here today. We thank you that you are with us in this building, in this time of fellowship. And we pray that as the hour continues, you will be pleased with the worship, that it will glorify you fully as we should. And we pray that as the word is brought, that you will speak in power through Pastor as he shares the things you've given him in your word this week. And we pray that it will challenge us, encourage us, and draw us closer to you. Father, thank you for all these things. We commit this hour to you. May the Holy Spirit fulfill your work in each of us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Mark chapter 10 and down to verse 32. Mark chapter 10, down to verse 32. We'll be reading that through the rest of the chapter. Mark 10, 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said to them, What would you that I should do to you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on the left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us, for your wonderful blessings to us. And we ask you, Lord, to help us today to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. We thank you that we can gather here this morning and worship you together, reading your word, praying, seeking your face, singing the songs of praise and thanksgiving. And we rejoice. We rejoice in knowing you as our Lord and Savior. We have so much to be thankful for. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this nation to assemble like this and to live our lives free from harassment. And we pray that you'll help us, our Father, to continue in that way. And may we love you and serve you each day and do your will in all things. Give us a love for one another. And I pray for our country, our Father. I pray that we might be united together in one accord and be able to serve together. We just thank you so much for your wonderful grace to us and pray that we would walk in fellowship with you and with one another. Unite our hearts together, our Father. We need to serve you faithfully. And I just pray today, our Father, that you'd bless our church and all the churches where the Word of God is being proclaimed faithfully. We just thank you for each one and pray that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct in all that we do and say. Bless your Word to our hearts today and help us that we might truly live righteously in this sinful world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at the life of Jesus and what he was doing throughout the Gospel of Mark. Now for some time, we're getting closer to the end. They're on their way now to Jerusalem for the last time. We find Jesus once again telling his disciples what's going to happen to him as they arrive there in Jerusalem. This is not a vacation. This is not a pleasant time that he's telling us about here. But he says as they were going, he's explaining to them what's going to happen. Nothing took Jesus by surprise, you know. He always knew exactly what was happening and how it would turn out. And so here we find it says that they were amazed. And they were afraid. It makes you wonder, what was it that was bothering them? I think they finally understood that death was imminent for the Savior, that he was going to go to the cross. He explains it to them so clearly here. It says that they were amazed and afraid, thinking about what was coming in the near future as they arrived at Jerusalem. They were only about 15 miles away, I think, at Jericho, coming through there. And he's telling them what's going to happen. They're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man, speaking of himself, shall be delivered into the chief priests and scribes. They will condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles, mock him, scourge him, spit upon him and kill him. That doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? Think of that. But then he does say at the end, and the third day he shall rise again. I think that's the part the disciples didn't quite understand. You know, the rest of it, no doubt they had probably seen people before that were condemned and crucified. That was something that the Romans did on a regular basis. And but here, the Lord Jesus, the innocent one, the one who never did anything wrong, he always taught the truth and walked with God, showing them who the Father was, teaching and opening the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, even raising people from the dead. And yet we find he's going to go and be mistreated, abused, and spit upon, dishonored. What a terrible thing to think about. And here he's headed that way. Be delivered to these ungodly people, the religious people. You think of that. The chief priests and the scribes. These should be the people that would elevate someone, right? And accept the message that Jesus was bringing. But they don't. They want their own way. They want their own prestige. They want to be the authorities. And so they condemn him. And he's giving them this message. And he says, and the third day he'll rise again. So we find here the disciples, and this is the message that Jesus gave to them. Now you would think that would be what was on their minds, wouldn't it? But then we find the very next verse. James and John. These are the two of the closest disciples to Jesus, right? There were three that went with Jesus everywhere he went, right? Peter, James, and John, right? And they had special privileges, so to speak. And so James and John, the sons of Zebedee, you remember, they came and they said, Master, we'd like for you to do something for us. Huh? This is what we want you to do. And he said, okay, what is it? And they said, grant to us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in glory when you're reigning, when your kingdom comes. Now, what did Jesus just told them? He said, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be condemned, spit upon, mocked, and crucified, and on the third day rise again. So what are they thinking about? You know, how can we be honored and glorified on your right hand and your left hand when you come in your kingdom? Well, I guess we can at least say they believed that he was going to come in his kingdom, right? So they had that much, okay? So we can give them credit for that. But they wanted to be the top ones, right? The ones that were honored. And it reveals here the ambition of these two men. Now in Matthew it tells us that the mother came to Jesus and also asked him, well, could you please, you know, let my sons be on either side of you in the kingdom, you know? They're good boys, you know. They've always been good boys, and, you know, just go ahead and give them this honor, right? Now, I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, but you understand. And anyhow, we find here their ambition. In the light of all that Jesus had just said to them, you would think that they would be so concerned about him, and yet they're concerned about themselves, right? And I think that's very, very human, all right? And here, the mother also, no doubt, prodding them on, oh, yes, go ahead and ask him. And so here we find they are looking at that. And so Jesus asked them a question. Okay, are you able to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? What cup's he talking about? It speaks of it over in the when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll get to there a little bit later. But he says, let this cup pass from me if it's possible. You know, God, the cup of the wrath of God that was poured out upon him. He says, are you able to share this with me? You know. And are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Now here he's not talking about baptism in a literal sense of the word. That already happened before he was baptized by John the Baptist. But here he's talking about, are you able to go through the experiences that I'm going to have to go through? Are you willing to die with me? Are you willing to follow through on all of these things in order to eventually receive the glory? You know? It speaks about that if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. You see, that's what he's telling them here, I think. That, you know, it's not time to reign yet. It's not time to be glorified, if you will. It's time to suffer. And that's what he's facing. And so he wants to point that out to them. And here, that they need to die to themselves and die to their ambitions and go ahead and go through this with him. And they said, oh yes, yes, we can. They had no idea what he was talking about. I don't believe they understood it at all. And yet they quickly said, oh yes, we can do that. And so Jesus said, okay, you will. You will drink of the cup that I drink of, and you will be baptized with the same baptism I have. In other words, you're going to go through this as well, the suffering. You remember, James was the first one of the apostles, right, to be beheaded. Herod killed him. He wanted to kill Peter as well, right? Remember? And the angel came and liberated him from the prison, but James was killed, first of all. And John, of course, he did live a long, long life, but he suffered a great deal as well, being exiled to the Isle of Patmos and all these other things. Jesus is saying here, you know, it's not all fun and games. Right? There is a lot more involved than that. And you need to be prepared. You will go through these things. But he says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. So Jesus always submitted himself to the Father's will, didn't he? You know. Now that's one of those things I know it's a little hard to comprehend, isn't it? Jesus is God. Yes, he is. But the Father is the one who gives the instructions, isn't he? And he followed him. He willingly yielded himself to the Father's will, and the Father made the plans, and Jesus carried them out. And so, as difficult as that is to understand, now that's the way it seems to be. He says, I'm not the one that makes that decision. It's up to God, the Father. And and then of course it says, when the ten heard this, what was going on, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Can you see that picture? The other disciples were all there, you know, and they said, oh my goodness, you guys, you're out of line. You're out of line. You know, you should never do that. Think about Jesus, you know. And so anyway, they no doubt complained a great deal about that and reacted in this way, upset, shocked that these men would even think of that, you know, and try to elevate themselves. So Jesus didn't teach them a lesson here. This is a beautiful lesson. He says, you know that those who are ruling over you, that are ruling over the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them. Okay? And their great ones exercise authority. So this is the way of the world, in other words. Speaks of Gentiles, means the heathen. This is the way of the world, right? The greatest ones are the ones that's in power, the ones that are ruling over everyone else. This is the normal way of this world. He says, but in verse 43, but so shall it not be among you. Okay? There is a difference. The followers of Jesus have a different way of looking at things than the world. That's what he's saying here to me. And he says, whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant, your minister, the one who serves. The greatest is the one who serves. I was listening to radio this week. I think it was, I don't know, Dr. Jeremiah or somebody was talking about that, about servant leadership, you know. This is what we need, is people that are willing to serve, not to bolster themselves, but to seek to help others. This is what it's all about. To serve God. We speak about that, don't we? To serve one another. And he says this is the greatest. The greatest one is the one who is serving. And whoever of you will be the chief shall be the servant of all. You want to be great? Serve. Right? That's what he's saying. And the key verse, I think, here of all the Gospel of Mark is verse 45. It says, for even the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come to be served, but to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the reason Jesus came, right? He came to serve, and he came to ransom us from our sins. You know, I was watching television the other day, this quiz show. Let's Make a Deal. You know that one? You know? And they have all these people coming in that have been zonked in the past, if you know what that means, you know. If whosoever will. It says here, the many. The many are those who place their faith in him, those who trust him as their Lord and Savior. So Jesus came to earth for this reason. And his entire, and then going to the cross and taking our sins upon himself and dying for us. It says he gave his life a ransom for many. And it's interesting to note that the word life here, that's usually translated soul. He gave his soul. The essential life. He gave his life completely. Not this, just his active life, but his whole life. And looking back with me to Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet here speaks of this in this wonderful prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, dying on the cross for our sins. Notice what it says in Isaiah 53, and down to verse 10. It says, yet it pleased the Lord Jehovah to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So we find here the Lord Jesus giving his very soul, his life, for our sins, to take our place and to die in our place, that we might be redeemed, that we might be ransomed, that we might be saved by his marvelous grace. And then we come to this, we find Jesus and his disciples coming on down to Jericho. They were on the road. And as they went out of Jericho, they were leaving the town. They went through. Jesus always went with a crowd following along, right? It was the disciples were there, and then other people traveling along on their way up to Jerusalem for the Passover. You know, this was one of the highlights of the year, actually. So there must have been quite a crowd there. They were traveling, as I said, from Jericho up to Jerusalem. Streets aligned with people, greeting those who are going up to Jerusalem, and no doubt in a festive mood. And suddenly, a voice cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Who is it? Jesus is teaching as he walks along, and when he hears the repeated cries of this desperate man, he stops and calls for him. "Who is it?" It says here, it was a man, a blind man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And you know, Bar means son of, so actually, I don't know if that was his real name, but anyway, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, okay? And he sat by the roadside begging. So this is a blind man begging for his daily welfare, to be able to continue on. He couldn't work, couldn't do anything else, so he sat there and begged for whatever he could get day by day, unable to see in the darkness. And yet he heard Jesus is passing by, so he cries out. What more could he do? And now Matthew tells us that there were two blind men here. It seems that Matthew always has two instead of one. I don't understand that. But anyway, we find here there must have been another friend with him. But Bartimaeus is the one who is speaking out here and calling out to Jesus, more verbal. And he says he heard that Jesus was coming, and he cries out to him, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Look at verse 49. It says, "And Jesus stood still." He stood still. He quit doing what he was doing, and he listened and commanded him to be called. You know, it's wonderful to think that Jesus would stop everything he was doing for an individual, for a person, right? Someone in need. You know, and I was just thinking about that. When we pray to the Lord, you know, we call out to him, and I think he stands still and he listens. He hears us. Mm-hmm. You remember Peter when he was walking on the water towards Jesus? You remember? He had enough faith to get out of the boat, but then he started sinking. And he said, "Lord, save me," right? And Jesus reached out and took him in, didn't he? And you know, it's wonderful to know that Jesus is able to help anyone who calls upon him. It says, you know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, right? We call upon Him and trust in Him, believe in Him. He will save us. He will deliver us from whatever our problem might be as well. And so these people were telling Bartimaeus, be quiet, don't bother Jesus. He's busy teaching. But Jesus stood still. And he heard him and he says, bring him to me. And they did. And it says, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Here he sits. He probably only had this one cloak. But he just threw it aside and went to Jesus. You know, he didn't know if he would be there or not when he got back. But he was willing to throw everything away and go to Jesus. It reminds me of the woman at the well, you remember? She left her water buckets there where she was, right? And she went running into the town to tell everyone, hey, the Messiah is here. Jesus is here. You know, come and see this man that told me all things that ever I did, right? And, you know, that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to throw aside all these other things and tell people about Jesus. You know, cast it away and come to Jesus. Come to Him. That's what Bartimaeus did here. Come to Him and He will meet the need, whatever it is. Jesus answered and said unto him, what would you like for me to do for you? Huh? Now that's a good question, isn't it? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? It was pretty obvious, I would think, what he would want. But Jesus asked him, you know, point blank, what do you want me to do? And you know, I think that's what he wants from us as well. When we call upon him, he says, you know, what would you like for me to do for you? Think about that. What do you need? And are your eyes blind? Yes. What would you like for me to do? He says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Open my eyes. We sang that this morning, didn't we? We sing it every Sunday. But anyway, open my eyes that I might see visions of Jesus, who he is. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So, his believing in Jesus and who he was is what made him whole. And that's what we need, isn't it? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved and to live for him. Right? And that's what he said here. Go thy way. You're free. Your faith has made you complete. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and what? Followed Jesus in the way. We're supposed to be following Jesus, right? In this world in which we live today, follow Jesus in the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So, if Jesus has opened your eyes and you can see, then follow him. Follow him in the way of righteousness and truth and do his will. May God help us to be faithful to him. Thank you, dear Lord, for your wonderful word to our hearts today. We pray that you'll speak to us and teach us what we need to know and help us to walk in fellowship with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.